Hi, it's Tony Bruschi. When you're not enjoying our haunting episodes of The Grave Talks, I invite you to check out our true crime and disaster podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of a recent episode of Dark Side of Wikipedia. A woman who claimed self-defense in the murder of six separate men soliciting the services of her as a sex worker. Her name, Aileen Wuornos. Was she really defending herself, or was she a cold-blooded serial killer bent on murdering men who tried to pay her for sex? These are the questions we ask today in the story of Aileen Wuornos on the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Aileen Carol Lee Wuornos was an American serial killer and sex worker who murdered seven men in Florida in 1989 and 1990 by shooting them at point-blank range. Wuornos claimed that her victims had either raped or attempted to rape her while they were soliciting sex from her, and that all of the homicides were committed in self-defense. She was sentenced to death for six of the murders and was executed by lethal injection on October 9th of 2002. The 2003 film Monster chronicles Wuornos' story from childhood until her first murder conviction. It stars Charlize Theron as Wuornos, and the performance had earned Theron an Academy Award for Best Actress. Wuornos was born Aileen Carol Pittman in Rochester, Michigan on February 29th, 1956. Her Finnish-American mother, Diane Wuornos, was 14 years old when she married Aileen's English-American father, 16-year-old Leo Dale Pittman, on June 3rd of 1954. Aileen's older brother, Keith, was born on March 14th, 1955, after less than 2 years of marriage. And 2 months before Aileen was born, Diane filed for divorce. Wuornos never met her father, as he was incarcerated at the time of her birth. Leo Dale Pittman was diagnosed with schizophrenia and later convicted of sex crimes against children. He committed suicide by hanging in prison on January 30th, 1969. In January 1960, when Wuornos was almost 4 years old, Diane abandoned her children, leaving them with their maternal grandparents, Lori and Britta Wuornos, both alcoholics who legally adopted Keith and Aileen on March 18th, 1960. By the age of 11, Wuornos began engaging in sexual activities in school in exchange for cigarettes, drugs, and food. She had also engaged in sexual activities with her brother. Wuornos said that her alcoholic grandfather had sexually assaulted and beaten her when she was a child. Before beating her, he would force her to strip out of her clothes. In 1970, at age 14, she became pregnant, having been raped by an accomplice of her grandfather. Wuornos gave birth to a boy at a home for unwed mothers on March 23, 1971, and the child was placed up for adoption. A few months after her son was born, she dropped out of school. At about the same time that her grandmother died of liver failure, when Wuornos was 15, her grandfather threw her out of the house, and she began supporting herself as a prostitute and living in the woods near her old home. On May 27, 1974, at age 18, Wuornos was arrested in Jefferson County, Colorado, for driving under the influence, disorderly conduct, and firing a .22-caliber pistol from a moving vehicle. She was later charged with failure to appear. In 1976, Wuornos hitchhiked to Florida, where she met 69-year-old yacht club president Louis Gratz Fell. They married quickly, and the announcement of their nuptials was printed in the local newspaper's society pages. However, Wuornos continually involved herself in confrontations at their local bar and went to jail briefly for assault. She also hit Fell with his own cane, leading him to gain a restraining order against her within weeks of the marriage. She returned to Michigan, where on July 14, 1976, she was arrested in Antrim County and charged with assault and disturbing the peace for throwing a cue ball at a bartender's head. On July 17th, her brother Keith died of esophageal cancer, and Wuornos received $10,000 from his life insurance. Warnos and Fell annulled their marriage on July 21st after only 9 weeks. In August of 1976, Warnos was given a $105 fine for drunk driving. She used the money inherited from her brother to pay the fine and spent the rest within 2 months buying luxuries, including a new car, which she wrecked shortly afterwards. On May 20th, 1981, Warnos was arrested in Edgewater, Florida for the armed robbery of a convenience store where she stole $35 and 2 packs of cigarettes. She was sentenced to prison on May 4th, 1982 and released on June 30th, 1983. On May 1st, 1984, Warnos was arrested for attempting to pass forged checks at a bank in Key West. On November 30th, 1985, she was named as a suspect in the theft of a revolver and ammunition in Pasco County. On January 4th, 1986, Warnos was arrested in Miami and charged with car theft, resisting arrest, and obstruction of justice for providing identification bearing her aunt's name. Miami police officers found a .38 caliber revolver and a box of ammunition in the stolen car. On June 2nd, 1986, Vusilla County deputy sheriffs detained Warnos for questioning after a male companion accused her of pulling a gun in his car and demanding $200. Warnos was found to be carrying spare ammunition, and police discovered a .22 pistol under the passenger seat she had occupied. Around this time, Warnos met Tyra Moore, a hotel maid, at a Daytona Beach lesbian bar. They moved in together, and Warnos supported them with her earnings as a prostitute. On July 4th, 1987, Daytona Beach police detained Warnos and Moore at a bar for questioning regarding an incident in which they were accused of assault and battery with a beer bottle. On March 12th, 1988, Warnos accused a Daytona Beach bus driver of assault. She claimed that he pushed her off the bus following a confrontation. Moore was listed as a witness to the incident. Up until her execution, Warnos claimed to still be in love with Moore. So, there's a lot to unpack there. Kind of the early years, Aileen, prior to getting into the murdering sprees. But doesn't really seem to have a lot of the ingredients that are going to make a well-balanced individual that's not going to kill people.
It makes me sad,
yeah,
actually, in a way, because, well, very sad for the young girl. Because you know where it ends up. And, you know, and even this far into the story. But there was never a way it wasn't going to end up like that. Nobody cared for her. Nobody loved her. Nobody had any compassion or helped her or taught her, you know? It's like, that's just sad. Like, when a child has to basically raise themselves and, you know, because it said at 11 she was having sex for food?
Yeah.
Like, that's so sad.
And she got pregnant at 14, but her parents were married at, what, like 14 and 16 or something?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just picturing this in my mind today, being an adult and being a parent. The idea of my daughter going and marrying a 16-year-old and going off and living in the sticks in Michigan. What could possibly go wrong? I mean,
well, and then she like moves out at 15, but lives in the woods out by her house. Like, that's just so sad. It's like, so I'm listening to all of this and I'm like, how is it not going to end up that way?
Yeah.
You know, and damn her parents and her grandparents, like that just, and her parents were kids. I get that. But it's like, you have a responsibility. Once you agree to raise that child, you know, you can give your child up for adoption and, you know, give your child a chance. But they didn't choose what was best for the child.
No.
Nobody did.
No.
Ever. Like, that's what's so sad.
It is.
And yeah, she's going to make all the bad decisions, every bad decision, repeatedly.
And then you go, why do you make those decisions? Well, here's her compass. Someone took it and smashed it, and then it got run over by a semi, and then it burned and melted. That's this little lob of melted metal
what
here.
That's carries with her.
That's her compass.
From point A to point B.
Yeah. So that's why she is the way she is. It doesn't excuse her actions, but it answers the question of that's why she is the way she is. And at that point, what do you expect different? You know, let's continue into the story as we enter the chapter simply titled murders. Wuornos murdered seven men with a period of 12 months. Richard Charles Mallory, age 51, November 30th, 1989, electric store owner in Clearwater. Wuornos' first victim was a convicted rapist whom she claimed to have killed in self-defense. Wuornos claimed she was sodomized and brutally beaten after being driven to an abandoned area for sexual requests. 2 days later, a Wasilla County deputy sheriff found Mallory's abandoned vehicle. On December 13th, his body was found several miles away in a wooded area. He had been shot several times. Two bullets to the left lung were found to have been the cause of death. David Andrew Spears, age 47, a construction worker in Winter Garden. He was declared missing as of May 19, 1990. On June 1, 1990, his naked body was found along U.S. Route 19 in Florida in Citrus County. He had been shot six times by a .22 pistol. Charles Edmund Carscotten, age 40, May 31, 1990, a part-time rodeo worker. On June 6, 1990, his body was found in Pasco County. He had been shot nine times with a .20 caliber weapon. The body had been wrapped in an electric blanket and was badly decomposing when found. Witnesses saw Wuornos in possession of Carscotten's car, and Wuornos had also pawned a gun identified as belonging to him as well. Peter Abram Simmons, age 65, retired merchant seaman. On June 1990, Simmons left Jupiter, Florida for Arkansas. On July 4, 1990, his car was found in Orange Springs, Florida. Moore and Wuornos were seen abandoning the car, and Wuornos' palm print was found on the interior door handle. His body was never found. Troy Eugene Burses, age 50, sausage salesman from Ocala. On July 31, 1990, he was reported missing. On August 4, 1990, his body was found in a wooded area along State Road 19 in Marion County and had been shot twice. Charles Richard Dick Humphreys, age 56, September 11, 1990, retired U.S. Air Force major, former state child abuse investigator, and former chief of police. On September 12, 1990, his body was found in Marion County. He was fully clothed and had been shot six times in the head and torso. His car was found in Shawnee County. Walter Gino Antino, age 62, a trucker, security guard, and police reservist. On November 19, 1990, Antonio's nearly naked body was found near a remote lodging road in Dixie County. He had been shot four times. 5 days later, his car was found in Brevard County. On July 4, 1990, Wuornos and Moore abandoned Simmons' car after they were involved in an accident. Witnesses who had seen the woman driving the victim's car provided police with their names and descriptions, resulting in a media campaign to locate them. Police also found some of the victim's belongings in pawn shops and retrieved fingerprints matching those found in the victim's car. Wuornos had a criminal record in Florida, and her fingerprints were on file. On January 9, 1991, Wuornos was arrested on an outstanding warrant at The Last Resort, a biker bar in Wasilla County. Police located Moore the next day in Scranton, Pennsylvania. She agreed to elect a confession from Wuornos in exchange for immunity from prosecution. Moore returned with the police to Florida, where she was put up in a motel. Under police guidance, she made numerous telephone calls to Wuornos, pleading for help in clearing her name. 3 days later, on January 16, 1991, Wuornos confessed to the murders. She claimed the man had tried to rape her, and she killed them in self-defense. A year later, on January 14, 1992, Wuornos went to trial for the murder of Mallory. Although previous convictions are normally inadmissible in criminal trials, under Florida's Williams Rule, the prosecution was allowed to introduce evidence related to her other crimes to show a pattern of illegal activity. On January 27, 1992, Wuornos was convicted of Mallory's murder with help from Moore's testimony. At her sentencing, psychiatrists for the defense testified that Wuornos was mentally unstable and had been diagnosed with borderline personality disorder and antisocial personality disorder. 4 days later, she was sentenced to death. That's the preview. If you want to hear the full episode, be sure to subscribe to Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.